Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
And we're off.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Went to get my blood drawn this morning.
Did you pass out?
They administered the vasovagal.
Did you have a vasovagal colonoscopy?
I did.
Vasovagal?
Vasovagal syncope.
Cophony.
Syncope.
Yeah.
Went and had my vasovagal syncope.
How did it go?
It went fine. I got a little nervous, but I'll tell you, of all the years that I've done this, had the blood drawn, I thought today was the most successful. Very nice man. Lives out in Western Shawnee, so we talked about Mill Valley High School a lot.
Good.
Told him we were in the market for getting a house out there, and he's like, whoa. And then, I mean, the nurse turns into a realtor.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, right around the corner. Yeah.
You know what it is? Everyone wants to be helpful when they hear you're moving. Well, this is where you got to move. We all do it.
I wouldn't go over there. That's the feeder area for Emerald Middle School.
Everybody does that.
Emerald Middle School is where the bad kids go.
Is that the only time that unsolicited advice is acceptable?
Ooh.
Or is it still not acceptable there?
Let me tell you this.
No, I think it's okay. He was very nice.
If you start the sentence with, "Can I give you some unsolicited advice?" which is always what Scott says, by the way.
That's true.
Then you shouldn't do it. If you have to preface your advice with, "Can I give you some unsolicited advice?" Well, just by going there, you're telling me.
The fact that you remember that, do I say that that often?
You say it quite a bit.
Really?
If you ask, is it no longer unsolicited?
Correct.
Well, now, wait a minute. No, I'm going to defend myself
here,
kids.
You're going to dump that on me whether I want it or not, aren't you?
No, that's not true. Because I'm asking you a question. Can I offer you some unsolicited advice?
Well, but then if I say no...
Then I don't offer it.
But then I'm going to be sitting here wondering what's wrong with me that you think you can fix.
But I know I can fix.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm older, therefore I'm wiser.
Please.
I got less tread on the tires, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm aware.
You know what?
Bone marrow's not quite what it used to be.
No, it's not, and they don't want it.
Keep your dusty bone marrow to yourself.
You have to pay people to take your dirty old bone marrow now.
If you are wondering what the heck we're talking about, it's up on podcast from yesterday. What a fun show that was, by the way.
Yeah, that was. That turned out to be a lot of fun.
Got to see Mitch Holtis yesterday. Not sure from this point forward who's going, who's not going. We know the Chiefs are going to Tampa. I don't know in the local market, Scott. Is anyone going now that it's been announced? You have no access to the game, no access to the players.
Just watch it on TV.
I tend to agree.
I got a great 50-yard line seat right in my living room.
Yeah. Stick a palm tree up behind you and let's be done.
You know who went to the game on Sunday and stayed at the game on Sunday?
Who?
A dead guy.
No.
Listen to this from Channel 9. Kristen Kimmick has two unconditional loves, football and her dad, Ron.
Aww.
Quoting here from Kristen Kimmick, "We had always said we were going to Arrowhead together. The Kimmicks had different reasons for coming to Kansas City. Kristen, who lives in Buffalo, is a Bills fan. But Ron, her dad, Ron's love for the Kansas City Chiefs started years ago. Drafted to fight in Vietnam, Ron was stationed at Fort Riley, right around the time that Lenny Dawson and the gang were making history. Says his daughter, Kristen, he decided he wasn't going to go overseas rooting for a team that was losing, so he jumped on the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon, and he never turned back. Sadly, Ron never lived to see the Chiefs win their first Super Bowl in 50 years. He passed away in 2019.
Aww.
With the Bills and her dad's favorite team facing off, Kristen knew it was time to come to Kansas City. She bought a ticket to Arrowhead, packed her bags, got on a plane, wearing a special pendant containing Ron's ashes. Once here, Kristen said she had the time of her life, and she knew she could not leave without giving her dad one last gift. Kristen spread Ron's ashes at her seat as a loving tribute to the ultimate fan.
Wait, she spread them on the seat?
At her seat.
At the seat.
Here, Dad, here's some stale beer and bad popcorn. Enjoy. He is a season ticket holder for eternity now. She said he'll be there for every game. She said, relieved.
I think that's sweet.
I think it's very nice. I bet it's also illegal.
I believe that is correct.
Now, it's more frowned upon.
Like dumping things in dumpsters that aren't yours.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Like that.
Frowned upon, likely not going to prison. I mean, we've talked about this before with other famous notable places where you're not probably supposed to spread the ashes there. But what, is someone going to come and tackle you if you're in the, you know, process of that moment?
It's a biohazard, Dana.
I disagree. I mean, how much could there have been? You said it came from a necklace?
She put some of his ashes in a pendant.
In a pendant, and then she opened what was in the pendant, and down they went on, you know,
onto the concrete at Arrowhead.
Seat 32 or whatever, wherever she was.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
It's a nice story. I love the thought. I don't know that if my dad was like a super Chiefs fan, I would put him on the
ground.
I would try to get him on the field.
Well, what if you're a beer and peanuts kind of guy?
Okay.
Here's where it gets illegal.
Here's two-week-old Budweiser.
When you run onto the field with the ashes, that's when police get involved.
That is.
And
that,
so,
that usually is.
You know,
yes.
That's probably the only place, especially during COVID, you can't just go wandering around. It's not, there's no way to get her down onto the field. And I bet you if you ask the Chiefs organization,
they're probably going to say no.
They're probably going to say no because
everybody else is going to want to do it.
Everyone else would want to do it.
It's just like the Masters. I bet you would love when you pass. I bet you would want nothing more than to have, if you get cremated,
yeah,
to have your ashes spread at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, or Pebble or somewhere like that.
Okay, can we say the full name? I mean, we're not everybody's as in with golf as you are.
Everyone knows what Pebble Beach is. Yes, it is. I will tell you this.
So she spread her dad's ashes at the Arrow?
I will tell you, the 6 feet distance Arrow.
Yeah.
6 feet apart. Chris's father, his ashes were somewhere. They're somewhere at Pebble. I don't specifically know where, but Chris could tell you.
Oh, he spread his dad's ashes at Pebble Beach?
They were spread at Pebble. It was not Christopher.
Really?
It was one of his golf buddies, longtime golf buddies, I think, who got
one of his dad's long-time
yeah,
golf
who got
buddies.
In a cart, just went and did it.
Probably hammered out of his gourd.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Huh? 57677. Where do you want? Are you going to get cremated?
Yes.
You are
100%.
Yeah, I am too.
Chris's brother, not his father. His father's ashes are on another golf course. I'm not kidding you.
What's going on over there?
I don't know. I'm just telling you, we have this in our family.
Wow.
One of them went to Pebble, and one of them went, I think, where they play the John Deere Classic in Moline.
Well, where do you want your spread?
The TPC course there.
Hole 7, CCL.
Probably in hole 7, so I can say, got in there again. Boom.
That's so funny. Hole 7, CCL. The one thing I don't want with my ash, I want some of them in like a Kiss urn. I think that would be cool.
That would be cool for you. It's not going to be cool for whoever has to display it.
Well, for my kids, but I think they would really
What's
enjoy
that
it.
Weird vase on your mantle.
Oh,
that's
the four
dad.
Painted faces guys?
That's
my dad.
Yeah.
But then I'd want to like, I don't know, Loose Park or beach I really like.
Okay.
I love Loose Park.
Yeah, you know at Loose Park, they're going to make you pay a permit fee. that'll be $50.
Maybe I'm just going for a little walkie-poo. Oh, whoops, there goes Dad.
Start shaking it out of your pocket as you're walking.
Somebody said, maybe Dana wants her ashes in the dumpster at Entercom.
It's the most convenient place.
That's where she spent the most time.
On surveillance forever.
That's where she spends all of her time before work.
I will haunt that Ring doorbell camera.
The alarm will never shut off.
576-7798. 576-7798. You're listening to Dana and Parks on KMBZ.
Pop me up beside the jukebox if I die. Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight.
576-7798. Going to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
You know the reason I like the scattering of the ashes idea, truly? I love the idea because once they go into an urn, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Until the recipient of that urn dies or moves or dies suddenly and you have an estate sale.
Yeah.
And it ends up in the trash or the Kansas City, Missouri evidence locker because they don't know what to do with it. And so I would rather, not that anyone would rather when they're dead, but in life, I like the idea of physically just being done with it and, you know, being somewhere peaceful.
I don't know what you do with an urn after everybody right. who cared about you has died.
Yeah, I don't want to be hauled around in the back of some van.
I mean, if my mom, I never knew my mom's grandparents, okay? I've seen pictures of them. But if my mom were to hand me an urn and say,
these are
the ashes of your great-grandfather, what the hell am I going to do with those?
I don't know.
I don't even know his name. Now, that's not to say he's not important. Without him, I wouldn't be here.
You don't even know his name?
I don't know my mother's grandfather's name. No, I don't.
Okay.
My great-grandfather. I don't know his name. Either side.
Wow.
I never met him.
Okay.
Let's go to Joe in Liberty. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
So good. How are you?
Man, if I felt any better, I'd be sitting next to Dana right now.
I'm here to tell you, it ain't that great.
You know what I heard today, Joe? I asked a gentleman, how are you doing today? And he says, well, any day I'm on the right side of the grass is a
That's
good
right.
day. And I thought that was so funny, on the right side of the grass.
6 feet up beat 6 feet down.
Go ahead.
Hey, a very dear friend and neighbor of mine for many years passed away, and she was a diehard Chiefs fan, but her grandson was raised in professional football coaching father. And I won't mention names of his father, but he was a coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And long story short, the grandson ended up with the Dallas Cowboys as one of their assistant coaches.
Hmm.
Well, when my neighbor passed away, since she was also a Dallas Cowboy fan by nature, the family went on a tour of the stadium with her grandson, and somehow a piece of the turf in the end zone of the stadium was lifted up, and a portion of her ashes now lay in the end zone of the stadium.
In the end zone. So, touchdown.
New stadium or old stadium?
The new stadium.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you, Joe. Apparently my mother is listening. My great-grandfather's name was John Heslin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brandon in Kansas City. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Good. Hi, go ahead.
I'm a fireman here in Kansas City, and I decided, you know, I'm going to be cremated. But they could take the ashes, give it to the guys at the station, pour it into the fire truck's water tank, and that next fire they get, I can help put that last fire out. So,
Brandon, that's beautiful.
We'll hope to see if they'll do it. If not, they're firemen. They're going to do something else with it, too. So we'll see.
All right, man. Hey, do appreciate the call, Brandon. Thanks for your service. Scott in Lenexa. Hello, Scott.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Just wanted to share a part Dana kind of touched on a little bit about the ashes, and after a period of time, there's got to be some kind of chain of custody or responsibility. My mother-in-law, when she passed, some of the assets went to my daughter. And later on, I would say several years, my current girlfriend came across them. And, of course, curiosity got the cat. And she ended up with some of her on her. And it's just one of those things. It's more about the memory. My father was a lifelong St. Louis Cardinals fan. And he worked for Anheuser-Busch, which owned the Cardinals for many years. And so he also got a gentleman a job down there 22 years ago who now runs the entire marketing division for the Cardinals. So
yeah,
we're going to do a memorial there, and I challenge the team here to do the same, is put up a box seat with the nameplate in honor of that person, like we're going to do for my father. And those tickets are donated to an academic athlete or somebody who excels in art, music, things of those natures. Because there's a saying that a man dies two deaths. The first one was a physical death, and the second one is when nobody remembers his name anymore.
That is a haunting yet beautiful statement, Scott, from Lenexa, who probably knows his grandfather's name.
I absolutely do, Vince.
It's what?
Vincent Scott.
Oh, Vincent. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Hey, thank you for the call, man. I love
my first name is actually my mother's maiden name, so I have both my family's last names, nice, similar to Hispanic tradition.
Good. All right, I like that you honor your deceased loved ones.
I know my grandfather's name.
You know, because she just texted.
No, that's my great-grandfather.
Oh.
I know my grandfather's names.
How estranged are all you guys?
I'm not.
What'd you do?
What's your great-grandfather's name?
Wathla.
Excuse me?
They called him Jess.
I can understand why.
He lived on a reservation.
God dang, I'm gonna hate myself.
Yes, you are. In Tulsa, he was a very proud Native American, and I never met him, but I do remember his funeral at age 4. Because they were speaking in a language I didn't understand, and I remember crying, asking if I could go to the car. That's a true story. And everyone drank sake, which I didn't understand either, or hominy.
What?
I don't think it was sake.
I don't know what it was.
Sake is Japanese.
I know. It's some drink with hominy in the bottom of it, and they were telling me to drink it, and I'm like, where are we? I want to go home.
They were trying to get you drunk at 4?
No, I just remembered it had hominy in it, and I'm like, why would anyone drink hominy?
Real quick, hey, Mike, we're really short on time, but I want to get you in because you've been super patient. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
So good.
I told you about having a funeral home and have it with a golf course that don't have any stones, you know, so have it to where you can have a park, have it to where it stays a park. But
yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I was going to tell you is I think it's McGillie's funeral homes and stuff like that. There's a guy that does it for the people, I think, but you can be loaded up in a shotgun shell. And
blasted out of a gun?
Yeah.
And then, that's awesome.
And then there's another one I was going to tell you about. I worked with a guy, we called him Tricky Dicky, at Midland Litho when I worked there. And we were printing When You Care Enough to Send the Very Best, Joyce Hall's book. And it was basically his biography book. And we're printing that book. And my buddy Dick always said, you know, grind my ashes up, put me in the ink. I want to be sent out with this book. When You Care Enough to Send the Very Best.
Aww.
Okay, man. Glad we got you in. The news is next here on Dana and Parks.
Do you know what's worth fighting for when it's not worth dying for?
All right, welcome back. Don't forget, every Friday at 5 o'clock, it is Festivus Friday, airing of the grievances. We do that every single Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. A story here, 4 schools in the Shawnee Mission School District will have new mascots by the end of the school year after the district's Board of Education voted unanimously last night in favor of a policy that bans what it calls derogatory or offensive mascots. I must confess, I don't know any of the mascots except Shawnee Mission North. That's one of the schools. The change will affect Belinder Elementary, Rushton Elementary, which is just off Lamar, and Shawanoe Elementary Schools, and Shawnee Mission North High School in Overland Park will no longer be known as the Shawnee Mission North Indians.
So when does this take place?
End of the school year.
So that, because they have to do, you know, there's merchandise in the school store. There's the sign. There's, you know, there's some things that are going to have to be changed.
Mm-hmm. There are four prerequisites, if you will, under the new policy. Mascots must now, quote, avoid being derogatory or offensive or making reference toward a person or a class of persons based on a protected case, be culturally and racially sensitive, depict individuals with fairness and dignity, and not run counter to the district's mission of creating a fully unified, equitable, and inclusive culture. Here's a novel idea. Just spitballing here. Maybe we just start making mascots and naming them after animals. Because if it's a group of people,
or
you're going to offend somebody.
No, or people who have made contributions to this country, and here's the key, who are deceased.
Like the Shawnee Mission North Reagans? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is if you're going to name it a school after a person, which happens too, they have to be deceased because...
Oh, if you're going to name it like Washington High School or Lincoln High School or something like that.
They have to be deceased and non-controversial.
Well, everybody has, every president has had some level of controversy.
Well, but I'm, let's look up the names of maybe some more controversial elementary school names. I don't know in the South that those exist, but I'm guessing that they do. So they have to be deceased and non-controversial.
Okay.
And then with the mascots, you're right. I mean, dolphins.
Just name it after an animal.
What about the entire district holding a Indian name, though?
Well, they would have to...
What do you mean the entire district holding...
Shawnee.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Or Topeka. I mean, Olathe. Where are we going to stop? That's a great point, Sam. I don't know.
What's the one in Lenexa? The Nenexa Festival?
I don't know, dude.
What is that? I need to look up what that's named after. You know, there are a few around town. This has been a long time coming. We're not even looking to make this a topic because this has been a long time coming. I am not surprised they finally made the decision that we're just going to change the names and move on because it isn't going to go away unless you are the Savannah Savages and that town has lost its damn mind.
They'll never change.
They will never change. And it is the most... Even if you're not offended by the Shawnee Mission North Indians, it is the most offensive mascot you can possibly imagine, and they're called the Savages.
Well, the mascot, the caricature mascot...
is an angry, scary, I'm-going-to-kill-you kind of person.
Indian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they keep trying to say, well, there are other people who were called Savages. We're not saying it's an Indian Savage, yet their mascot is an Indian.
Isn't the name Savages on the water tower?
Oh, it's on the water tower. It's on the, you know, filling station. It's on the, all of the local, it's like the Savages Bakery.
Savage Cafe.
Yeah, be savage and come put down our donuts. You know, it's everywhere.
I'm going to do violence to your donuts at the Savage Donuts.
The Savage Rest Stop.
I'm going to scalp that icing right off of it.
Oh my God, Scott!
Savage Rest Stop sounds scary.
Yeah, that does.
I don't know that I would pull my car into that.
Yeah, no, I'm not stopping there.
Where are we going,
Savage?
It's the one that needs to be changed. That they just will not change
it. What's that one school that Ketz always talks about?
The Cupies.
No, there's another one where the mascot is the Midgets.
Is there really a Midgets?
Yes! We've had this conversation before when mascots have come up, and he always brings up the... I thought it was Ketz who always brings up the Midgets.
I don't
midgets,
know.
Midgets... high school mascot. I know there's one.
And if you're the basketball team,
well,
is that really?
Yeah, it's an Illinois high school, and they're Dickinson High School. Yep, that one's in North Dakota. There's another one in Illinois.
Oh, because the country has room for two high school midgets.
Who'd you play for, the Midgets?
Midgets. We didn't score very often.
The headline is: would changing Midgets mascot be too politically correct?
In the mid-90s, this goes back a while, the school became concerned that their 80-year-old mascot was not very politically correct and communicated that they were considering a change. In 96, the board voted to change the mascot, but residents were so angry, they recalled at least three of the board members. A South Dakota school changed its nickname that year from Midgets to Mustangs by the request of the Little People of America, but Dickinson refused to change it.
Freeburg Community High School in Illinois also calls themselves the Midgets.
In 2019, the Little People of America came to Dickinson to once again request the school consider changing the mascot. They're just not, they just won't do it. They're like the Savages. Nope, we're the Midgets, and we're mighty, the Mighty Midgets, and we're not changing it.
Is that what it really is, the Mighty Midgets?
I don't know, but these townspeople are like, nope, and if you vote to change it, we're going to vote you out of office.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are the Midgets.
And we are proud.
I mean, when the Little People of America are coming to you saying, okay, come on.
Well, here they are outside of Freeburg Community High School. They're all little Midgets, Little People, whatever they're... proper term is now, and they're holding placards. One
that
says,
"We are not a mascot."
What's the other one say here?
Change the name of the game. Huh. Teach respect. We are not a mascot.
Oh, there's another school, Unionville, Missouri.
Maybe that's what it is.
As the Midgets.
Where did this even come about? It's an 80-year-old school in the mid 90s, so it would have been 1910. Who in 1910 thought, let's name our school the Midgets? It doesn't even make sense way back when.
I don't know, Dana. I have no idea how people come up with this stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. But just go, I mean, so that we don't have to keep doing this topic from time to time, let's just name them after things that are non-human.
The Devils?
Well, somebody's going to get crazy about that. I'm amazed that a school like Duke, which is a religious university.
They're the Blue Devils. That's different than a devil.
How is a Blue Devil different than a devil?
It's blue.
Right, not red.
Do we know for a fact that the devil is red? What if the devil is blue? Anybody ever think about that?
No, but you're right. Duke is a...
very religious school. And they're the Devils.
The Blue Devils. I think no one cares because they win.
Not winning this year.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you hear, by the way, not to go squirrel, but I'm going squirrel. Did you hear Mike Krzyzewski at that press conference this last week?
What?
My guess is they lost. And a student journalist, I'm going to make you play this because you know I hate awkward things. My guess is it was a student journalist. You know, they go, okay, so-and-so from ESPN, go. Yep, you, CBS, go. Okay. They call on a student journalist who says, are you going to go back now and regroup and reassess before the next game? That's a fair question. They just got beat. Are you going to go regroup or whatever it was this kid said? And you don't see this very often with Krzyzewski. I tend to think that he's a pretty even nice guy off the basketball court. He goes, let me ask you something. What's your major? And you hear this kid in this press pool going, I'm sorry, what? Your major. What's your major? And then it just gets quiet and awkward. And the kid goes, economics. And he goes, okay, let me ask you something. You go in and you bomb a test and it's bad. It's really bad. And your head's hanging low and you're feeling really bad about yourself. And you walk out. And someone comes up to you and says, you're going to go regroup now. You're going to go reassess. He goes, did you get me there? Oh, it's awful.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, when you, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world. And when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Does that, you have some empathy and, you know, just give us time to evaluate this game and then we'll figure out just like we always try to do.
I mean, come on. The kid is like 19. Come on.
why is an econ major at the press conference?
I don't know. What's your major? And you see the kid just like, oh God, if Roy Williams had done that to me when I was at KU, I would have just quit. I just would have quit. I would just quit school.
Oh, come
I would have gone
on.
Out crying and I would have quit school. You know, he was all excited to ask, you know, the coach a question. And the coach pees on him. I'm like, what are you doing? Don't do that.
What's your major?
What's your major? That kid was like, oh God.
What he should have said is, I asked the question.
I know, right? I thought, who would have had the guts to say, how is that relevant to your loss, mm-hmm. Coach K?
Answer me!
But of course at age 19, no, 20, no to, one is going to say that. Scared to death. Maybe we could have some empathy. I'm like, oh, don't. Come on.
First of all, simmer down, Coach K. It's a basketball game.
Wow.
You coach a kid's game.
For millions of dollars.
Yeah, and I'm
give some empathy.
Well, yeah, give me some empathy. I got to get to my mansion. I'll be back.
Speaking of school, we had a listener reach out to us overnight, Scott, and they said, look, I want you to talk about this. I don't want to use my name, but I will call in. I teach at such and such middle school. I teach history.
Yeah.
And we have not mentioned what happened in the Capitol 2 weeks ago. Nor anything going on in Washington right now. And some schools are saying, we don't want you to talk about it. It's too polarizing. Some schools are saying, hey, you're a history or government teacher. What better time than to teach history or government?
And first female, first.
Yes, the person. That's what the person said. Even if you disagree, the first female is in the White House. And we were told, don't touch it.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
How bizarre. Destination unknown as we pulling for some gas. Officially placed a poster reveals a smile from the pack. Elephants and acrobats, lion, snakes, monkeys.
So we were going to get to this story yesterday, but ran out of time, and Dana has a more interesting take on it. Breanna Davis was listening to a documentary of famous people reading the Declaration of Independence with her class when news broke of the riots at the U.S. Capitol. Quoting here, we were listening to the words that built America as she began getting alerts and seeing images of chaos in D.C. The history and government teacher at Rancho Campana High School in California had to cancel her class early. She knew what was unfolding was historic in a way like nothing she had ever experienced in real time with her students, and she just didn't have the words to explain it to them. Davis and other history teachers across the country are facing a dilemma since January 6th. How do you put a historical moment into context as it is happening, and what does teaching history look like in the years to follow? And the story that you were trying to relay or relaying before we went to the break.
It was a listener who reached out. It was about 48 hours ago through social media and just said, hey, I'm curious what your listeners would have to say about this. School districts are grappling with what to cover, how to cover it. You know, how to put it in some type of historical context. And I'm curious for the teachers out there, and you can certainly remain anonymous, were any of the schools told, just let's avoid talking about it?
The riot?
Any of it, because it is such a polarizing time in the United States right now. And I'm curious if that, and certainly in elementary school, I don't know that they would talk as much about government and civics as you would in middle school or high school. But I'm curious if you teach middle school or high school, if you are in a district that suggested maybe you don't go there.
What about with the swearing in of the first female vice president of the United States?
I don't know why that wouldn't be part of at least, I mean, not on a test or something, but it is history.
Regardless of your politics,
yes,
that's history. There's no denying it.
And as part of that test, you could say, who has been on the ballot? Because we had Geraldine Ferraro.
Correct.
We had Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm. Hillary
and we had Hillary.
President.
And now we have Kamala. And before Geraldine Ferraro, I don't think there was anyone.
Not on a major ticket. Right.
So there are opportunities there to point out. And then I would say, let's look at the other countries who have had Angela Merkel. And
Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher, other brilliant world leaders who happen to be female.
The Prime Minister of India, and I can't remember her name.
And why the United States lags so far behind in putting a woman in that office. I think it's a great historic look back and forward. And maybe some districts disagree because that's better talked about at the kitchen table.
Jim, get off my lawn in Topeka. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
How's your lawn doing, Jim?
It's doing very well, and I protect it very carefully.
Of course I bet you do.
Of course you do.
The thing that I had to learn in history and continuing to learn about history is you have to start and read it all the way through, and you have to read everything you can find. And that would include a book called Universal History that the founders read. It would include that they thought of the masses. The masses are nothing but mob is the tyranny of the mob. They put in so many different safeties in so many different ways, and we misinterpret a lot of what that they do.
I would agree with you there.
And if we're going to condemn the whole thing and find out how we got there, it's time we go back and start at how that it was, the safeties that were put in. And I will close with this statement from Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine's one of the most famous statements is he would rather do the correct thing as a majority of one than follow the masses and be wrong. And that was part of the way the founders had put this together, and then so that it made it extremely hard for any one group, including we have met the enemy and they are us, to tear it apart and change it.
Amen.
So take care.
Okay, Jim. I hope you get into a better mood. Zachary in Kansas City. Hello, Zachary.
Jim needs some vitamin D.
Yeah,
badly.
Hi, Zachary.
First time calling.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. So I just don't feel like it should be, it's a big historical moment for women for being in that office, but if we're going to move forward and elect more women, we should just treat them as just American citizens who are qualified to be vice president or president, and not look at them by their gender or specifically color either. And teaching in history, I've always felt that history was taught with a bias towards one side or the other, depending on your teacher.
Yeah, the victor gets to write it.
Yeah, the victor wrote the history books, if that's what you're asking, Zachary.
Yeah, no, it's sad to say, but yeah, I just feel like the gender and color and race and everything shouldn't be a factor in what we elect for as president.
Well, I'm not saying that the gender or the race should be a factor necessarily, but don't you think it is historical that we now have, whether regardless of the party affiliation, that we have the first female in the White House?
No, I am not downplaying it. I think it's awesome. I just would like to see her, even if she becomes president, I'd like to see her win an election instead of somebody being, you know what I mean?
Well, some would argue she did win an election. She was elected vice president.
I mean, elected as a president. I wouldn't want Biden to step down and her become president, not how she becomes the first female president.
I see what you're saying. All right.
Oh, I Understood. See what you're saying.
Okay. Hey, Zachary, good call. Glad to have you in. First timer. That's good. That's good.
It's good.
You know what I was thinking? And you've mentioned this to me off the air, maybe once on. You've been watching that Challenger story on Netflix, and it opens with a teacher in 1986.
Rolling a cart.
With a large TV on top of it.
That we all remember, that was strapped down with a very thin belt or bungee cord.
Yeah.
I call that the CPSC nightmare of the 80s. because if that thing tipped, you were dead.
Oh, yeah.
And we are going to talk about the Challenger documentary, but you have some homework before we do it, because I want everyone listening to watch it on Netflix. It will bring back memories you didn't even know you had repressed, and we're working on getting an author for an hour to talk about what happened and why we maybe don't remember it that way, Scott.
All right. News is next. Here on Dana and Parks, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Cause the pain. Years go by, I'm looking through a girly magazine.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.